is this the best fantasy quarterback board we've ever seen? Man, there's great options everywhere. How do we sort it out? Do you want Anthony Richardson? Do you want Jaden Daniels? Do you not want Josh Allen? Kyler Murray, Carnival, Arizona looks like fun. Scott Pianowski, Dalton, and I are going to break down quarterbacks coming up next. It's Tuesday, August 13th, and I'm Scott Pianowski. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. Pinch hitting for my buddy Matt Harmon today's pod. It's me, and it's my buddy Dalton Del Don. Hey, Dalton, it's been a minute, bud.
What's going on, Pianowski? It has been too long, man. Nice to talk some ball with you today.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot of ball, and specifically this week, it's position preview week. Today's pod is going to be all about the quarterbacks. Dalton and I will be back tomorrow with the running backs. We're going to get you all the intel you need at the different positions. Overarching layout of the positions, you know, get you ready for your drafts, sleepers, busts, disagreements on players, all the good stuff. So let's jump right into it, Dalton. Just the overall vibe of the quarterback position. You know, people, I try to tell people when they're new to fantasy, because we're getting new players every year and we're excited about that. Yahoo Fantasy Football open for business. The NFL is all about the quarterback and the draft's all about the quarterback. We just saw a bunch of exciting quarterbacks into the league, and fantasy football is not all about the quarterback. It's the third or the fourth most important position to most people. I think it's probably the fourth most important position to me as far as what I'm drafting. And yet, in a way, it's kind of the most important position because the quarterback is the connective tissue, the common thread of every offense. So even if you don't want to draft Derek Carr, you kind of have to have an opinion on him because you might want to draft Chris Olave or, you know, Alvin Kamara or who are you, Rashid Shaheed, whoever it is. We need to know something about every quarterback in the league, even if we're not going to draft them. So I just think that's an interesting dichotomy that NFL all about quarterback, fantasy, it's a little bit of a different approach. And yet we have to have an opinion on all 32 of these guys.
Yeah, it's not a great reflection of real life NFL, because the most important position in all of sports is the quarterback position. In fantasy, it's different, assuming you don't play super flex. But yeah, P&L, I mean, quarterback is deeper than ever right now in fantasy football and real life. I mean, someone who just posted the best YPA in NFL history isn't being drafted as a top 10 QB. A four-time MVP winner with a star wide receiver is the QB 20. Justin Herbert was the QB 8. He's averaged being the QB 8 over his 4 years in the league. He's the QB 19 in Yahoo Fantasy Leagues. Deshaun Watson is a few seasons removed from being the best player in the league, 28 years old. He runs. He's the QB 23. Geno Smith led the NFC in touchdown passes 2 years ago. He's going undrafted in Yahoo Leagues. Ryan Grubb might have Seattle throwing a ton more. They have three-star receivers, possibly. Justin Fields is also a guy going undrafted. If he wins the starting job in Pittsburgh, I'm going to rank him as my QB 14. I mean, that is just absolutely loaded. The rookie class is loaded as well. Drake May is a dual threat once he eventually gets the job. So super flex leagues figure to start becoming more popular as a result of this. I mean, it is just loaded. I mean, I didn't even mention a handful of guys. Matthew Stafford has top 10 upside if the Rams stay healthy. It is just as loaded as a quarterback position has ever been.
Very well put, and that allows me to point out a couple pieces of content. You did the quarterback primer that was published on Monday. Later this week, our mock draft with the staff this week is going to be a Superflex draft, and I will be the one reviewing that. So if you're looking for more Superflex angles, it's one of my favorite formats. It's basically you add an extra flex position that could be a quarterback. It's basically a two-quarterback league, but if you have a week we only have one, you're not totally screwed. It's my favorite format. It's still a boutique format, I get it, but there's never been a better time to step into Superflex than maybe this year with the quarterback being so deep. So if that's your jam, look for my piece later and certainly read Dalton's quarterback primer that went up on Monday. There's a lot of good stuff here, and we'll be running some of that back in this podcast. So Dalton, it's a great age for running quarterbacks, right? Josh Allen's going to go first, and he runs a bunch, and Jalen Hurts and the tush push, and Lamar Jackson can run, and I know you're a big Richardson guy, and Jaden Daniels is one of the exciting rookies in the league. Those are what I call the hot porridge quarterbacks for running, because these guys, it's going to be a major part of what they do. And then you have like the medium guys, the medium porridge, where Mahomes runs a little bit and proactively, and Trevor Lawrence can run. Kyler Murray can run, but he's stepped that down a little bit in recent years. So that's the medium porridge. And there's the cold porridge as far as running goes, where Goff's not going to run. Tua, Stafford, these are your pocket quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott used to be somebody who would run a lot, but now he pretty much doesn't. Justin Herbert won't run so much. So people have different opinions on this. Andy Behrens has talked about, our colleague, the importance of getting a running quarterback. Some people say, hey, wait a minute, you got to get one of the big running quarterbacks. You want your guy to score 5, 8, 10 touchdowns on the ground, or maybe have that 800, 900 yard rushing upside that Jackson or Richardson may have, or Daniels, guys like that. Some people say, no, yeah, it's okay if he runs a little bit, that's fine. And some people think, well, I'm just going to play the value game with the pocket quarterbacks. Give us a sense of where you come from with the running quarterbacks. How important is it to get one? Can we still survive with these pocket guys? I know it's going to be league dependent and the flow of the draft dependent, but just what's your stance on, you know, what kind of porridge do you like?
So while quarterback is deeper than ever, the running quarterbacks remain a cheat code in fantasy. Among 27 QBs who had 100 plus carries over the past 10 seasons, 41% have finished as top three quarterbacks, and only three finished outside the top 12. So basically, they were all, that's not just your ceiling that it increases, it also increases your floor when you get the QBs who run. To illustrate this differently, Tua led the NFL in passing yards and threw the fifth most touchdowns last year, but finished as the QB19 in fantasy points per game. I mean, my guy Richardson outscored Tua's weekly average while playing 17 snaps in week two. Jalen Hurts would drop from the QB2 down to the QB16 if he removed his tush-push touchdowns. Josh Dobbs was traded twice, got 5.9 YPA, averaged fewer than 190 yards passing, yet finished as a top five fantasy QB in 25% of his starts last year. I mean, I get it. Waiting on quarterback is a perfectly fine strategy this year, but I'm kind of with Andy. I think the optimal one is drafting a quarterback who possesses more upside with their legs. And also, if they possess more injury risk, which actually the data does not suggest, I obviously admit AR has a higher injury risk than statue quarterbacks, but the replacement level will remain so high on waiver wires given the depth at the position. I think you should go, there isn't a right or wrong way to attack QB, but I personally think that you have a real advantage at a more projectable position if you get a dual threat QB who adds that value with his legs.
And what's fascinating to me with, you know, we talk about the Rich Rebar Konami code, right? The cheat code, as you say. And we've seen historically, and it could definitely come into play this year with Justin Fields, that you don't even have to be good. And maybe Justin Fields someday will be good. Maybe the Bears setup was just untenable and he was never going to survive there, although he's got an awful sack rate. But Fields is one of these guys. I think back to, everybody may not remember this, but remember Tim Tebow, who, you know, basically had one season as a starter and his specialty was play lousy for 50 or 55 minutes and then win the game in the final 5 minutes. I mean, he was like quarterback 11, I want to say, and he was never a good passer. You don't have to be. There were certain seasons where Cam Newton wasn't a good passer, but he was still running practice. Of course, he was a league MVP at his peak. He had a really good peak. But Fields, to me, is fascinating. There can be some deeper formats like the Fantasy Index Magazine Draft. I drafted Justin Fields in the 22nd round. I wanted to get a third starter. It's a best ball league. The third starters went quicker than I could get my hands on them. Bo Nix was somebody I was looking at, you know, even guys like Derek Carr, whatever. I missed all those guys. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take Justin Fields in the last round and think that he could either beat out Wilson. Wilson could get benched. Wilson could get hurt. I can't shake the, and I'm stepping on our sleepers for later because he'll probably come up in that section too. And I know Fred Zinke likes him as a sleeper and that will come out later on Yahoo this week. But I can't shake the idea that Justin Fields is going to play like 5 or 6 games and it's going to, people are going to scream, he's not that good. He threw like 5 should have been picks and only, you know, one of them was intercepted. Somebody else is going to say, well, who cares? He ran for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, Russell Wilson very well may just be completely washed. Maybe he starts the year as the starter and it's just the injury giving Fields the opportunity now. And I know Tomlin was not happy at Fields' 2 fumbles, but he made some impressive throws in the preseason debut. He's just locked in as a top 10 fantasy QB when he's starting. I mean, just because of his rushing, could develop into more of a passer. Different situation here outside of a Chicago situation that's never produced a 4,000 yard passer or 30 TD passer ever in franchise history. So yeah, Fields becomes a starter. I mean, I'm conservative when I say he's immediately a top 15 guy. He might even be a top 5 guy. Man, it's crazy how deep the QB position is. But are you not with me here then on the you should attack the guys who run? Because you don't have to get Allen or Hurts. And you don't even have to get Richardson. There's Kyler Murray, who's going to run more another year removed from ACL. Jaden Daniels. And then we get to Fields. So, I mean, we have, you know, half a dozen guys you should be targeting.
It's the thing with quarterback. A lot of times I say it's like the public transit system in New York, where if you miss a train, well, no big deal. There's another train coming in 5 minutes. I feel like every time you quote unquote target a quarterback, then you see somebody who's very similar to that quarterback go 3 or 4 rounds later. And you're like, why didn't I wait? Sure. You know, and then it's like, okay, well, I could take Allen here, but Hurts is going to go the next round. Well, I could take Hurts here, but Lamar's going to go the next round. Well, I could take Lamar here, but Richardson looks so good. But
Daniels
isn't
wait on Richardson to get Daniels.
Yeah, to get Daniels, who has so many of the same qualities, and we'll get to that in the next segment. Let me ask you this. Is there a heavy running quarterback? This is the other thing that can be tricky, is that these things aren't always static. Like I mentioned, Dak Prescott used to be, oh, hang your hat on a bunch of rushing touchdowns. You get like 5 or 6 every year. And now he shut that down. Justin Herbert, I remember, was kind of a proactive runner when he came into the league. He shut that down. Somebody could say, what if Mahomes or Lawrence, what if guys like that decide to run more? What if Kyler Murray is finally comfortable again and he says, you know what, I'm going to run for 1,000 yards? There's times when he's played in the last couple of years where he's been hurt and reluctant to run. So I wonder, is there somebody maybe you could see latent upside as rushing being added? Or what if, I don't think this is going to happen, but I'm just going to throw it out for the sake of a conversation. What if the Eagles backed off the tush push? Or what if the Bills said, hey, Josh Allen, you're our most irreplaceable player, like most star quarterbacks are. We don't need you running recklessly. Maybe in this playoffs, that's okay. But maybe we don't want you doing that in week 1. I'm just curious if you see anybody in the hot porridge, that the heavy runners maybe backing off, or maybe somebody who could add some rushing production that hasn't been there in the last year or two.
Well, I am glad to hear that the Colts don't plan on backing off Richardson. You know, Steichen said, would you stop Curry shooting threes? Richardson dealt with multiple injuries, but it sounds like he's just going to, at least this part of his career. That's why I love him. He's in the fantasy sweet spot. Like, ironically, he'll be a lesser fantasy player when he becomes a better passer in 3 years from now. Like, now is what we want him, just running like crazy indoors and these receivers. Josh Allen, when Brady took over as offensive coordinator last year, he ran even more. So no, I mean, I think the rushing is going to be there after losing Diggs. Hurts, there is a question with Kelsey retiring and now adding Barkley. So I absolutely new offensive coordinator, completely new system. So there's some concern there. Murray, I expect to run like crazy. The data just shows the second year after the ACL, running backs run more. And I think that's just an inherent part of his game, even with McBride and Harrison there. Players like Mahomes, I feel like he just runs more come in the postseason. Burrow, at this stage of his career, he used to be able to get some rushing equity there. I'm really concerned you're going to get none there at this stage of his career and with the injuries. My guy Brock Purdy, I think, could be a sneaky. One of these years, he will rush for 6 touchdowns like Prescott used to do.
He killed
one
the of those Lions. Years, Purdy, the second half of the Purdy NFC Championship game, he killed Detroit.
One of these years, Purdy will finish with 6 rushing touchdowns, I predict. Caleb Williams was secretly a huge rushing TD scorer in college. So I think there's going to be some upside there. But yeah, maybe we all know Herbert will add some to his legs, and he may have to this year without, you know, you'd like to say he will without the receivers, but now he's dealing with plantar fasciitis. So maybe he won't get some there. So I think that's about covered. Daniel Jones is another sleeper, man. If he actually stayed healthy, I know there's risk of him getting benched at the end of the year, even if he's healthy, because they want to get out of that contract. But that guy was like a good play, better than Josh Allen on a per play basis in his prime, as far as a rusher, to be clear. So there's some upside there for a guy who's going completely undrafted in all fantasy leagues.
I'm glad you mentioned Daniel Jones. I'm just going to say this. I'm not ready to give up on the idea that he could at least be a league average quarterback. People have given him up for dead, and I think that's a mistake.
Agree. I'm getting hopefully Neighbor's injury isn't serious. And Dable had him as a success rate was league average, actually under close enough, about like Aaron Rodgers territory or in the small sample with Dable. So I absolutely think there's hope there. No Barkley. They're just going to have to pass at the end of these games and Neighbors and he runs. So I think there's Daniel Jones will be one of the more popular waiver wire ads because no one wants to draft him. They're tired of his injuries, but he'll put up a big game rushing and people will be onto him.
So we, in passing, mentioned Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. And one of the big takeaways, preseason has changed in the last few years, right? Where teams kind of back off and their main players don't play that much. But a lot of starting quarterbacks played in the first week of preseason. And most of the rookies, as far as I can tell, most of the important rookies got in playing time. And pretty much all of them came out really well. Did you get a chance to see some preseason action? And specifically, what were your takeaways about how those first round rookies looked?
Just a little annoyed that Daniels made that such a sick throw downfield that everyone saw, because I've been all over him in fantasy drafts. And now his ADP is no doubt going to increase after everyone's seen that. And then he finished it with a TD run as well. Nice to see Kingsbury running. We're hoping that there would be a high pace there in Washington. And that was revealed. Same with Seattle, by the way. I think Grubb, they're going to run a lot more plays after finishing last year. But yeah, Caleb Williams looked good. McCarthy looked good. It was impressive. This is a really impressive draft class. Drake May was giving, you know, nothing. The backups, don't judge on his performance. No, Arrow's looking up on this rookie class. It's going to go down as a historical unit.
And again, this points to even if you don't want to draft J.J. McCarthy, you probably want to draft Justin Jefferson, or you may want to draft Cortland Sutton in Denver. You have to have a feeling on their quarterback room. So it's, you know, I don't know that anything can save the Patriots, although they did draft a couple of interesting receivers. I'm curious to see how they get broken down later. It's position week on Yahoo, so it's a lot to break down. I hope Drake May's the guy. I hope they put him in. I would give him about a month to learn and sit and watch, and then I think I'd let him take over. You have a sense of when McCarthy will start, or if Nix will be an opening day start? I mean, I think we all know Caleb's going to start day one, and Daniels is going to start day one. What do you think about the other guys?
Yeah, I think Sam Darnold's going to start up into the bye. I forget, it's through week 6 or 7.
Early one.
They have a very, very tough schedule, opening schedule. I think they're going to go with Darnold, use that bye, then bring back McCarthy, possibly Hockenson. He won't be 100%, but possibly Hockenson right after that. I think it's week 7 would be the target if I'm right about the bye. That's what I'm looking at. I think McCarthy will be the future over the second half, and they'll see enough of Darnold. And it may not even be fair for Darnold again. You know, he's been in these horrible situations, and now he gets the toughest stretch of their schedule to start, and then McCarthy will get a little bit of a softer landing afterward.
Kevin O'Connell is one of the great coaches. I think people like O'Connell. I don't think people appreciate just how great he is. What he did last year after Cousins got hurt, and I realized there were mistakes, there were interceptions, they didn't make the playoffs, but the YPA was static, and Justin Jefferson was still a god, and part of that is Justin Jefferson just being really good at football, obviously, but I'm at the point now where I just trust O'Connell with anybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nick Mullins put up big numbers. I'm ranking Jefferson ahead of Chase in part because of the coaching situation there. Indoors, it's a quality setup. He can obviously scheme well. Agreed. This quarterback, McCarthy, absolutely is going to be another guy. Once he takes over the job, he'll have a couple big games, and he'll be, you know, one of the bigger waiver wire ads in the second half at the quarterback position.
Time for us to take a quick break. When we get back, we need to talk rankings and where we agree and disagree. And Dalton's got some great quarterback ranking debates ready to go. Back at you shortly. All right. Back on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. I'm Scott Pianowski, pinch hitting for Matt Harmon, joined by my wingman, Dalton Del Don. It's all quarterbacks all the time on this episode. It is position week over at Yahoo Fantasy. And Dalton, let's try to figure out where you think the market is wrong. You recently published a great piece, and you are very decisive. Your rankings have always been decorated over at Fantasy Pros. And what I appreciate is a lot of people who do well in those contests, and I have much respect for the industry and the smart people, but a lot of people who do well in these contests are flying really close to the herd. They're kind of consensus driven, and you are out there. You are letting your hair down. And you're almost like a knuckleballer at times, but you're not afraid to take stands on guys. And one of your bold stands is Anthony Richardson. Now, the market likes him at quarterback 5. You say Anthony Richardson is quarterback 1.
Yeah, you obviously don't have to draft him there. And I get it's a small sample and you can't extrapolate what he did last year over a full season, expect the same results, big injury risk, or at least ostensibly. I mean, the guy's built like a tank. But yes, there's questions with Hurts and all the aforementioned question marks we said. And Josh Allen splits without Diggs. And just look at where Josh Allen's receivers are getting drafted compared to Richardson's. Pittman, I think Josh Downs is really, really good. Athletic receivers, Steichen. They averaged the 5th most plays per game with Richardson under center last year. But fantasy points per dropback is the best future indicator of success. He just recorded the best one ever. I mean, the best one since Lamar's historic 2019 season. Richardson averaged 29.2 fantasy points per 4 quarters last year. He matched CJ Stroud's weekly top 5 finishes, and he played just 10 quarters. He's raw as a passer still, unquestionably, but he's maintained his strong ability to avoid sacks like he did in college. I mean, he was on pace to rush for 26 touchdowns last year, and on pace to lead all quarterbacks in rush yards, rush touchdowns, designed runs, designed rush rate in the red zone. I just think he has clearly the most upside. So it's just however much you want to deal with the risk. And if you can draft him as a QB 5 or 6, I'm all for that. I think that's the target right there.
Two things I want to respond to that. Just one in passing. Josh Allen, isn't it kind of crazy that we're not going to talk a lot about Josh Allen today, but I'll say this. It's crazy to me that he's quarterback 1, and we have no idea if there's a great receiver on his roster. I mean, I like Khalil Shakir for he's kind of like a Cole Beasley type. You know, he could be like a 65, 806 player, and that's useful in, you know, medium and deeper leagues. I think Keon Coleman, a lot of people see as maybe a project, maybe a second year, third year guy, but somebody wasn't even a football player when we went to college. He was a basketball player at Michigan State. And Curtis Samuel, I know he was wide receiver 25 when he spent that year in Carolina with Brady, and a lot of people are in on Samuel, but none of these guys are going to be what Stephon Diggs was. At least I don't think anybody expects that. So it's just an odd time for Allen. And also, I two different things, and you can address them in either order. One reason why I'm not drafting Richardson is I just feel like a lot of the pro Richardson case is duplicated with Jaden Daniels, who, by the way, is your quarterback 9. You're ahead of the quarterback market, which has him at quarterback 12, although Daniels playing well this weekend. I just feel like he's going to be a helium player. This is one of the reasons you draft early, because I think Jaden Daniels is going to rise like a couple of rounds until the end of draft season. But for now, because there's a gap between Richardson and Daniels, and I think Daniels, they're not exactly the same player, but they have, in fact, Daniels was a Heisman Trophy winner. Richardson was kind of a hit or miss player at Florida who was more about the tools than the per snap consistency. I feel like all the pro Richardson cases, you capture most of them with Daniels too, and he's more expensive.
I believe Daniels attempted more pass attempts last year than Richardson did his whole college career as well, or something to that effect. But also Daniels, you know, took a lot more years in college, and his pressure to sack ratio, highly, highly concerning. I'm just not sure if Daniels' offense in Washington is going to function with that offense. You compare the offensive lines dramatically better for the Colts. And Daniels is a rookie. I could just see that offense struggling somewhere. I mean, I might have the Colts in the playoffs. I mean, Scott Barrett pointed out, Shane Steichen popularized the tush push with Jalen Hurts. I mean, what if he does that behind a top five offensive line? I know that Jonathan Taylor is a great back and he could steal some touchdowns, but I just think the setup is just a little bit better and worth a couple rounds more for Richardson, given that that we've seen what he did in the league last year, indoors versus outdoors. Mm-hmm. Love the Steichen setup, but I'm not going to argue against Daniels. I moved him up to my QB8, even higher than I had him. He's an excellent target. If you miss out on Richardson, go for Kyler Murray. If you miss out on Murray, go for Jaden Daniels. I would like to hype my guy Murray a little bit here. He's still ranked top 10 in fantasy points per dropback last season, despite running less than usual. And he's coming off a torn ACL. They had the league's like weakest supporting cast. Arizona still was top 10 in EPA per play after the bye week. This is a great offensive scheme. They added Marvin Harrison Jr. Trey McBride is my number one fantasy tight end. Dude led all tight ends in first downs per route run last year. Kyler Murray was the QB4, QB4, and QB5 in fantasy points before tearing his ACL. So I have him comfortably ahead of Stroud and Mahomes, who do not run. I mean, I think a guy like Burrow is going ahead of Murray. Joe Burrow could win the MVP this season, and Kyler Murray could still outscore him in fantasy. So I love Kyler Murray as well after Richardson. And then I'll let you talk before I go too nuts on Jaden Daniels, but I'm with you there. So those are like my three biggest targets.
For sure. Yeah. When you published this article, Kyler Murray was your quarterback 5. The market had him at quarterback 8. Joe Burrow, one of your fades, he was a quarterback 11 on the Dalton Del Don cheat sheet, but the market had him at quarterback 7, which I think the market might correct that as we meander through August. But at the time you published it, I think you were certainly pointing out an inefficiency in the room. I know I threw a lot at you at the same time, and we don't have to talk a lot about this, but does the quarterback room in Buffalo with Josh Allen, he was not part of this piece. I just want to duck in some Josh Allen talk somewhere. Does his kind of just mediocre, you know, I like all those players for what they are. They're all like wide receiver 3 or 4s for me in fantasy, maybe even wide receiver 5s. Does that cap Allen's upside? Are you likely to draft Josh Allen? Just what's your state of the Allen address right now?
Allen scares me more than Hurts as far as me ranking Richardson 1. I probably wouldn't take a significant bet there. I would like bet Richardson 1 on one other, but Allen's running after Brady took over OC was just crazy last year. So I think he's just going to be call his number inside the 10. And no, I'm not too worried about him. That said, no, I'm not taking quarterback in the second or third round. Or I guess he's fallen more to early fourth than some. But I would rather Richardson in the 6th for sure, considering I think there's a 50-50 chance he outscores him, if not better than 50-50. So I have no problem with someone taking Allen. I think he's going to have a great year despite losing Diggs, and there are some dramatic splits there. But I just think Richardson 2 rounds later is the way to go.
Yeah, with so much depth and so much upside in this pool, I just can't be the person who jumps in early on quarterback. Just to put a capper on Kyler Murray, Adam Levitan was talking about not only does he like this offense, but he doesn't like the defense. And they're an indoor team. And it just, to me, that just screams out carnival, right? I just see Arizona playing a lot of 33-30 football games, maybe at a faster pace. you get those chaotic second halves, you get all those extra snaps in there. I can see that as pro cases for Kyler Murray.
Games against Seattle, the Niners and the Rams. I mean, they're all, I love the setup there. I could see just the NFC West being constant shootouts.
For sure. I just wish Kyler were a little bit taller. It's Rich Rebar was talking with Michael Salfino, and I was kind of privy to that conversation secondhand about, is Murray too short to maybe be as effective over the middle as you need to be in today's NFL, where the defenses are funneling so many of those throws? It'll be interesting to see. Now, Murray's very good about getting outside the tackle box and finding functional space to throw, and having McBride and Harrison, who are just alpha talents, is going to be a big part of that too. At the end of the day, I think Levitan's right, and I think you're right. I think Arizona could be a destination offense. I would like exposure to Kyler Murray. The other quarterback that you mentioned.
One thing, Pino. The last time, and then we'll finish Kyler Murray. The last time Kyler Murray had a 1,000-yard receiver, he finished as the QB2 in fantasy.
It's pretty good.
And now he's got Marvin Harrison and Trey McBride. I mean, I just think it's, he's a smash. He should be considered top five for me.
So the other quarterback you were targeting as far as market differential, you have Brock Purdy at the time of publishing, your quarterback 8. The market has him as quarterback 11. As you mentioned, maybe some latent rushing upside. I talked about it killing the Lions in the NFC Championship game. And just he's another year experience. He knows he's the starter. All the toys in a Shanahan offense, two great receivers. I don't think Ayuk's going anywhere. Kittle's as good as any tight end as far as I'm concerned. McCaffrey will go number one overall in most fantasy leagues. So you're a Niner guy. You're close to the team. You pretty much travel with the team in the playoffs, it feels like. Give us your Brock Purdy pitch.
Yeah, I lowered him below Daniels. I'm going to Daniels' upside. So he's my QB9 now, and Purdy goes later than that. All bets are off if Ayuk does get traded. I will lower Purdy, 3-4 spots for sure, and I will not continue this argument. But as is, if they keep Ayuk, Purdy, again, just posted the best YPA season in NFL history despite incredibly poor pass protection and rehabbing from elbow surgery until the end of November. Purdy threw for 100 more yards and just one fewer TD pass than Jordan Love in 135 fewer attempts. 135 fewer attempts. I mean, the Niners are projected to score the most points in the league. Brandon and Ayuk and Debo Samuel are both top 15 fantasy wideouts in ECR. George Kittle is the tight end 6th. I mean, I think they're going to pass more this season. Shanahan has passed back in the day in Atlanta, when Ryan won the MVP, the personnel decisions he's making this offseason suggest we might be leaning that way. Especially McCaffrey is already out with a calf injury. He's coming off a 400-plus touch campaign. All their other backup running backs are injured except Jordan Mason. Purdy finished just behind Josh Allen last year in fantasy points per dropback. I mean, if the volume increases, he could also rush for 4 or 6 touchdowns. Added zip in the offseason. He's finally healthy. So I don't know. People disrespect Purdy. I get it. It's the system. I mean, I understand. Look how bad Jimmy Garoppolo has been. He's going to be out of the league a year after leaving Shanahan. But man, you look at if assuming Ayuk remains here, I don't know. Purdy is just set up for another big year. And if you add the volume, he's going to have an even bigger year.
Isn't everybody a system player anyway? Isn't everybody a system quarterback anyway? And that's the
good degree. Yes.
Going to pivot to me to some of your fades, because I know a lot of the show is, hey, we're buddies. We agree. We have similar takes. Is this something we don't agree on? And I realize this is not a heavy fade for you, but you did mention Jordan Love as somebody the market liked more than you. Quarterback 10 in the market, quarterback 12 on the Dalton sheet at time of publishing. And he's one of my most rostered players. And here's why. I know that touchdown rate, quote unquote, unsustainable, is unreasonably high. But maybe Matt LaFleur is just like a fantastic. I think people like Matt LaFleur. And I get the idea that maybe he's actually like a Sean McVay coach, or an Andy Reid in that neighborhood. It Reid's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if I want to put that much at his feet, but I think LaFleur's a right answer. In the wide receiver room, we spent all summer. Who are we supposed to draft here? Is it Watson? Is it Reid? Oh, no, it's Wicks. No, it's Dobbs. No, it's Musgrave. Maybe it's Jordan Love. And maybe that touchdown rate, here's the thing, he can regress. The touchdown rate probably will regress, but I think it can still be over league average. I think they can still be a throwing team in the red zone. I've been getting Jordan Love in the 9th and 10th round of drafts, and I know you have to season that to taste because different leagues draft quarterbacks at different times, but I've yet to be in a draft where I didn't think Jordan Love was a decent value where he landed, and a lot of times it's on my roster.
I have no problem with Jordan Love. I'm 2 spots lower than him in my rankings. Does not mean I'm down on him.
You're giving up on Love. You do not believe in Love. Yeah.
QB4 in fantasy over weeks 11 through 18 last season. Passed the eye test. Loaded at wide receiver, as you say. So I like him. He's a top 12 fantasy QB. I'm just taking Jaden Daniels' rushing upside over him. And Purdy, who got 9.6 YPA last year versus Love, 7.2. Again, matched him in more yards, matched him in touchdowns, and 135 fewer attempts. I think Love can be better this year. For sure, his YPA can improve. But boy, it'll need to keep that TD percentage, that TD rate. Green Bay scored 76% of their touchdowns through the air last year, then added Josh Jacobs, who averaged 11 rushing touchdowns over 2020 to 2022. They also had a historical 95% of their touchdown, their goal-to-go touchdown score for touchdowns last year, the highest rate since the 90s. Again, though, Jordan Love's going to ball. He's a QB1 for me, a lot of good receivers. But as we talk about how loaded Green Bay's receivers are, let me counter with the guy ahead of him, Purdy. Again, two receivers being drafted as top 15 guys in fantasy and a tight end going sixth and a running back who catches the ball well. So, I mean, yes, Green Bay's loaded with all these options, but the Niners are the guys, the receivers going even higher in fantasy. So that's just my argument.
But you know what, though? I think part of that is just because the tree's narrower in San Francisco.
That's the reason.
I mean, they rotate receivers in Green Bay. So it's not, look, I'm not saying Watson's as good as Ayuk or Reed's as good as Debo. I'd be silly to say that. But I think it's a little bit spread more thin in Green Bay, and that speaks to part of why that stat is why it is. Also, Love is not a zero in the running game. He's obviously not an elite runner, but he ran for 247 and four. And as a Love manager, if he would duplicate that, or maybe even just with more confidence and more starts under his belt. He had one start before last season. So maybe just as he's a little bit more skilled.
His second half was way better than his first.
Maybe he runs for 350 and five and throws for, I don't know, 30. I mean, what do you think? 30 touchdowns, 28 touchdowns, something like that.
Yeah.
I think Jordan Love is a great target for me. And I also think because you're only two spots below market, I mean, you know, you may come away with some Jordan Love by the end of draft season anyway.
Yeah, Brock Purdy, 444 pass attempts last year. Christian McCaffrey coming off a 420 touch season, I think, and Purdy was coming off elbow surgery. Mm-hmm. Please don't trade Ayuk again. If they deal Ayuk and don't get Cooper back,
I will lower.
Shanahan's mad at him.
When do players
there's
get traded?
Real problem back
players
there.
Never get traded this time of year. It makes no sense.
No, well, don't jinx this because it's a real possibility still. He's not playing on the fifth year. Shanahan's upset with him. I don't know. I hope they just don't. If they trade him for just draft picks and no receiver back, it'll be the year they're trying to win the Super Bowl with the timeline ending, it would be a big mistake. But that's my bet, is this Purdy gets more volume than ranking. He was toward the bottom of the league in pass attempts last year. And yes, that historical efficiency is bound to regress. 9.6 yards per attempt. I don't think people understand how ridiculously great that is. But that's my bet. Again, like Jordan Love is a top 12 guy, I'm just personally drafting BCB and Jaden Daniels over him.
Scott Pianowski sitting in for Matt Harmon today on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, joined by my main man, Dalton Del Don. I say Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. It's really the Brock Purdy Forecast. I hope we don't talk any more Brock Purdy the rest of the show, but the Niners are great. Shanahan's great. Dalton's great. Very briefly, before we hit our next break, I just want to mention a couple of quarterbacks I have different than market. I like Kirk Cousins a lot more than the market does. I know major injury, mid-30s, they drafted Penix. I get all that. But there's such great tools here. What if Zach Robinson is the next great offensive coordinator? He came from the Shanahan tree, indoor schedule, and an easy schedule. And when we talk about strength of schedule, which I think is largely misunderstood, it's not like, well, this team has the 13th best schedule. This team has the 17th best schedule. I don't care about any of that. Tell me whose schedule is great, easy. Tell me whose schedule is horrifically hard. When you look at that great Warren Sharp graphic that shows strength of schedule based on projected win totals, the Falcons are such an out. They're not just number one. They're nowhere near the rest of the pack. I can't imagine how that schedule will end up playing difficult. There's going to be a ton of things we don't know in the NFL. It's a reshuffle league. It's a snow globe league. I get that. But Kirk Cousins, no, he's not going to run at all. But I think there's a lot of pieces here. They finally got Arthur Smith out of town. I don't know. I'm just asking him to make a par or maybe a birdie. He can outkick his ADP pretty easily. So he's one of the guys. And I know he's not as sexy as a runner and his age and all that, but I think he has a great chance to beat his ADP.
Yeah, it was a QB7 in fantasy points per game last season and available super late. For me, the tier right after Caleb Williams, my QB13, Tua, Goff, Lawrence, Stafford, Herbert, Cousins, interchangeable. Take any you want there. So you could move Cousins all the way up to 14 and I'd have no argument whatsoever there. Hopefully returns from the Achilles, new system and all that, but indoors, stars at wide receiver, tight end, and running back. Yeah, no pushback on Captain Kirk from me.
Now, you mentioned Herbert. He's actually the quarterback I like far less than Market. And not that I don't like Justin Herbert, but that wide receiver room, don't know what I'm getting there. Jim Harbaugh wants to run the ball. Greg Roman, his longtime offensive coordinator at Stanford, at San Francisco, they've run the ball everywhere they've gone. Michigan just won a title. Running the ball left and right, I realized J.J. McCarthy was still drafted in the first round, but he was throwing 20 passes a game. I don't see how the Chargers, and granted, their running back room, it's not like they're looking at stars at running back, too. It's kind of hard to sort through who their runners are as well. I still don't know which Charger running back I want to draft, but I don't know how Justin Herbert, he's a great player. I don't know how he can be great in 2024 with the current setup.
Apparently, the running back is not Kamani Vidal, who I had been drafting, and he's on the roster bubble. Totally with you on Herbert. First of all, 7.1 YPA throughout his career. I think that his efficiency will actually improve under this new coaching staff. But man, you got to worry about the volume. I think I said he had plantar fasciitis earlier. I believe that's a misdiagnosis. He tore the plantar fascia, and that can linger throughout the season. It's a concern. They have a good offensive line, but yeah, McConkey did not demand targets in college, dealt with a lot of injuries, is currently dealing with injuries. I've moved Josh Palmer ahead of him in my rankings. I love him as a sleeper, but yeah, if he's your number one guy, you can't get too excited about their quarterback from a fantasy perspective. So Herbert, yeah, no need to draft him this year outside of super flex leagues.
And producer Colin did mention that Colin Kaepernick was a fantasy star under Harbaugh, but I mean, so much of that Kaepernick stardom was just his amazing running ability. So I don't know what's Herbert's upside as a runner. I mean, 250 yards, maybe.
Yeah, especially dealing with the injury. I mean, that's just an issue there for sure. But Herbert's going to have some big seasons in the future with this coaching staff and once they improve their receiving core. But this is the year, especially entering the year injured. This is the year, just obvious red flags to avoid.
Going to take one more break before we get into the final lap of our quarterback preview. When we return, sleepers, late round targets, the players we're going to draft the most, and a final piece of advice as you get ready for your quarterback drafting in 2024. Come back and join us. Okay, Dalton, we're back. And I know the word sleeper. It's almost a dirty word now because it has such a different definition. One person's sleepers, another person's value pick. But the bottom line is sleeper basically to some degree means a player who isn't drafted early, who has a good chance to outkick his ADP and maybe be a significant asset to your team. So I'll start here. A couple of guys, we haven't mentioned these players. We don't have to talk about them too much. I think Justin Fields is going to play at some point. He won't be drafted in most leagues. He shouldn't be drafted in the majority of leagues, but some deeper formats, he'll make sense in that 400 pick draft I do later this summer. I'll probably try to target him. I hope nobody in that league is listening, but I just think we're going to see 5 or 7 or 8 Justin Fields games. And who knows? I don't even think it's out of the question he could be the starter on opening day because I have such little faith in Russell Wilson these days. And he's just a classic Konami code guy. And Jaden Daniels, does he even count as a sleeper anymore? I know there's a lot of helium there, but we talked about the differences between him and Richardson and the overlap between him and Richardson. And if you like that type of player, I realize Steichen is a wizard. I don't know if I trust Cliff Kingsbury at all, but so that's a big part of it for sure. But I want Jaden Daniels in some of my rosters. I have to have some exposure to him. So there's a couple of sleepers on my page. Why don't you tell us some of the sleepers on the Dalton page?
So I'm with you on both of those. Fields, like I said, if you were named starter today, I'd move him to my QB 14 right behind Caleb Williams. And maybe that, and he'll probably even would finish higher than that if he started all the games. So big news there on who gets the starting job in Pittsburgh. Geno Smith, I'll go even deeper. He's going undrafted in Yahoo leagues, took a big step back last year, at least ostensibly, but he quietly finished top 10 in success rate in a clean pocket and under pressure, led the league in big time throw percentage on deep passes for the second straight year, while recording the fourth best pressure to sack ratio behind an awful offensive line that has improved. Seahawks produced the fewest plays in the league last year. Crazy unsustainable third down rate on both sides of the ball. Their first preseason game suggested the opposite. I think they had the most plays week one. Ryan Grubb is using more motion. They're going to be extremely aggressive. It's clear that Jackson Smith and Jigba was just misused as a rookie, returning from that wrist surgery. You got Metcalf, Lockett, a healthy JSN. Geno's 1 year removed from leading the NFC in passing touchdowns and is going undrafted in like 94% of Yahoo leagues. I mean, he's a sleeper among many here at the quarterback position.
So before we get to the quarterbacks we're most likely to roster, and before we get to the final piece of quarterback advice, doing pretty good on time. And I know there's probably a lot of we can't talk about every quarterback, but there's a couple of quarterbacks we haven't mentioned at all. And I think we have time for a really quick speed round. And we're talking one, two sentences at most. I'm going to say a quarterback, and I just want you to tell me just first thing that comes to mind for his fantasy prospect. We haven't talked about Patrick Mahomes, who's just maybe the signature player of the league. The Chiefs are trying to go for a three-peat. Hollywood Brown is down for a little bit, but he's been an interesting ad. They drafted Worthy. Rashee Rice, it sounds like he might not be suspended. Give me a quick hit on Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes is the GOAT, but the Chiefs are playing to win their third straight Super Bowl title. I think they're playing for the playoffs. They're definitely obviously improved their receivers last year. Mahomes suffered the most air yards lost by drops. He's awesome. I hate talking bad about Mahomes. I just don't see him running a lot in the regular season, mm-hmm. and he's going 30 picks behind Anthony Richardson. I mean, Mahomes wasn't a top 12 fantasy QB last year, so no, I don't like
but
his
that,
ADP.
But that was an outlier for an Andy Reid offense. They're never going to be that bad again.
Yeah.
I don't think anyway.
That's true. No, he's the man. He calls his number down inside the 10, too. I get it. But I personally would rather a guy who runs who goes later.
You know who doesn't call his number inside the 10 is Lamar Jackson. Maybe the best true pure runner at this position, but he doesn't score a lot of rushing touchdowns. And that's big reason why quarterback 4 on my board, and I feel like I'm never going to draft him. What say you?
Yeah, and they added Derrick Henry. I mean, I know Gus Edwards did benefit from a lot of the short ones, but Henry could have even more rushing touchdowns taken away from Lamar. Lamar's fine getting drafted in the 5th round. I think that's about right, and it makes sense. But again, I just love AR even around later.
CJ Stroud, my quarterback 6, another victim of the depth of this position. I mean, they added Stephon Diggs for whatever he's got going, and I know that he'll be in the slot, easier throws, but you know they have Nico Collins, they have Tank Dell. Joe Mixon will be a part of the offense, but I can't imagine how he would dominate the offense. It's not that I don't love Stroud. I just feel like there's better value opportunities. So he's somebody's, I hate to say I'm fading CJ Stroud because I love the guy, but it's just, I think there's better buying opportunities at ADP. How do you feel about CJ Stroud?
CJ Stroud might win the MVP this season. He's awesome. What he did as a rookie was the real deal and then some, because it was even underreported. He suffered multiple concussions and really his stats suffered in the games, if you were paying attention to, right afterward. I think Stroud is arguably the number one player in the NFL if you were to start a draft today, you know, given his age, maybe behind Mahomes still, whatever, number two. That said, in fantasy, let me repeat, Anthony Richardson matched CJ Stroud's weekly top 5 finishes last year, and Richardson played like 11 quarters. I mean, it's just the running is the cheat code here, and the Houston could have a top 10 defense. Mm-hmm. I just think the lack of running makes him more my QB7 in fantasy. When in real life, like I said, he should be the second player off the board if we were starting a franchise today.
I know producer Colin won't let us go until we say something nice about Dak Prescott. So Dalton, can you say something nice about Dak Prescott?
The Cowboys throw the football a lot. They do not have a running back they can rely on. Hopefully they do get, you know, the Lamb signed. And Prescott, fantasy-wise, just that pass rate over expectation indoors, he still gets it done. I mean, he was with the QB4 last year and being drafted as a QB9. So you get him as a discount too.
Also, producer Colin mentions he's having an excellent training camp. I like to see CeeDee Lamb a little bit happier than he is right now, but I generally fade holdout buzz in the summer. I think they'll eventually get him going. Hopefully he'll be in shape. I also think Ferguson is a great value tight end with all those red zone looks last year that weren't touchdowns. Maybe they're touchdowns this year. They're running it back in Detroit. They kept Ben Johnson. Maybe Jameson Williams takes a step up, but even if he doesn't, there's a lot of really good pieces here. Laporta, St. Brown. So Jared Goff, kind of boring. He's not going to run at all. He's quarterback 14 on my board. Where you come down on Goff?
Yeah, right there with Tua, Lawrence, Stafford, mm-hmm. Cousins, Herbert for me, especially if you can start him just at home in some leagues. Sam Laporta caught 10 of his 11 touchdowns in Detroit last season. This is like the Coors Field of baseball. So especially if you can play Goff only in home games, you know, but so deep quarterback, then even he's even more valuable that way.
So I feel like with Aaron Rodgers, it's more important to figure out where he's at because I want Garrett Wilson. I don't necessarily want Aaron Rodgers. We talked about you need to know all 32 quarterbacks, every offensive situation. What's your state of the union on Rodgers?
Totally agree. This is just dependent. I have Breece Hall ahead of Bijan Robinson and Garrett Wilson ahead of AJ Brown on my board. So I'm really reliant on Aaron Rodgers staying healthy this year. That defense is awesome. That roster's loaded. I'm leaning toward picking the Jets to win that division, but it all comes down to Rodgers. He's his age and the Achilles. about 6 weeks ago, he looked hobbling around the footage I saw. But I mean, if he was reportedly close to returning last year, they made the playoffs, you know, and he's obviously probably worked super hard during the offseason. I hope he can return close to 100%. But yeah, that's what this comes down to. The Jets season's all about the health of their you know, 40-plus-year-old quarterback.
As far as Rodgers fantasy-wise, I'm also afraid the defense might be really good. And it might be a case of where he has a lot of those, like J.J. McCarthy games at Michigan, where he was really efficient and he threw for 237 yards and two touchdowns. And that's, and, you know, he'll be like quarterback 22 in a week like that. You just, he's not going to run. They're not going to have to air it out. There aren't going to be shootouts in the Meadowlands. So that makes me, if you want to take a boring veteran pocket quarterback, I say, well, why not take Kirk Cousins or why not take Matthew Stafford? I know Nacua is dinged up right now. I actually think Cooper Kupp could be a great target. They still have McVay. They have some other pieces in the offense that I'm excited about. It's the depth talking, because I have Stafford quarterback 17 on my board, and yet in the Superflex formats and the formats that require multiple quarterbacks drafted, he's been somebody I've been landing on a lot. What do you think?
One thing I would point about Rodgers is while the obvious increase in efficiency will help, he bleeds the play clock down more than any other player.
Oh, sure
the
does.
Plays are going to be lower with the Jets, the overall play volume there, but hopefully he can increase it with, you know, a dramatic increase in efficiency versus Zach Wilson. Yeah, Stafford, the Rams led the NFL in yards per play when Stafford, Williams, Nacua, and Kupp were healthy. I'm all in on Kupp this year. I'm a little upset that his ADP has just risen so much. He's like a second rounder now in PPR leagues. I'm fine to do that in the middle of second round. I moved him one spot ahead of Nacua. I had them back to back. But I think Kupp is healthy. He matched Nacua in targets last year on one leg. So now if he's the healthy one and Nacua is the one who, by the way, battled a ton of injuries throughout college. I mean, he ran more routes last year than he did in college. So I'm all in on Kupp's bounce back. And boy, that's going to require Matthew Stafford staying healthy. Their offensive line is secretly really good, too.
Can this quarterback be saved edition? Is there hope for Deshaun Watson? Is there hope for Daniel Jones?
Yeah, get Daniel Jones because he's even freer than Watson. Ah, man, I don't know. Watson, the tools are there. He remains 28 and he can run and they have the system. But I would rather Daniel Jones off the waiver. You know, you don't even have to draft Daniel Jones in most leagues. And Daniel Jones could be a top 12 fantasy QB because of his legs. Yeah, 100%. I mean, that is not out of the range of outcomes.
I just wonder if, and I don't have any sympathy for the way his life has gone, but I just wonder if the confidence in mojo has just been removed from Deshaun Watson and that's never coming back. We will close before we get to, our sleepers, and our targets, most drafted quarterbacks, and a final word of wisdom. I'm just going to do one more freestyle. Dave Canales edition. He got it going for Geno 2 years ago, got it going for Baker Mayfield last year. And this year he tries to save Bryce Young. Now, we already talked about Geno a little bit. I think with the new coordinator in Seattle, and he's still got three good receivers, I think you're right to target Geno Smith as a sleeper. But let's talk about Canales' the last two quarterbacks he's been linked to. Are you interested in Baker this year? And maybe not even for Bryce Young, but I mean, can he get Bryce Young to be playable enough or productive enough that we can trust his receivers or trust his running backs, that offense won't be left for dead? How do you feel about Baker? How do you feel about Bryce Young?
I think the loss of Canales will affect Baker. I'm out on Mike Evans at his ADP. I think Godwin's due for touchdown regression. We'll go back to the slot more. And it's kind of just last year, Godwin was going ahead of Evans in some leagues. And I don't think we should correct the market so drastically over last year when Godwin was playing injured. And the loss of Canales, I am factoring in. You look at what he career years for Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, and I expect Bryce Young to be much better in year two. I get it. His size may ultimately make that look like a bad draft pick, but Bryce Young had some okay numbers if you squint. He ranked fourth in accurate throw rate to open receivers, not including screens. His completion percentage above expectation was hardly a disaster. It's on par with your guy Jordan Love and better than Patrick Mahomes last year. I bet many people would not have guessed that. Young had the lowest turnover worthy throw rate in the NFL on plays with motion and or shift. And now Canales is going to be a dramatic upgrade. The receivers cannot get open for Bryce Love. And now you have Deontay Johnson, a guy who can't, all he does is get open. He led the league in separation win rate last year. So, yeah, Bryce Young, we're not going to be considering in one quarterback leagues here, but I have confidence he can make Deontay Johnson fantasy viable and Jonathan Brooks eventually when he returns. So, yeah, I think the arrow is pointing up for Carolina.
I also wonder if last year's coaching staff is going to go down as like one of those Urban Meyer coaching staffs that was so overmatched that the players on the offense had. I mean, just some of the play calling just was really, really crazy. And Canales has looked like a miracle worker for the last couple of years. So I think Young's going to get better. I don't know how fantasy worthy he will be, but if he gets Deontay Johnson going or Chuba Hubbard going or eventually Brooks going, we'll all be better off for fantasy purposes. So we're going to pivot to the wrap up, Dalton. Talk about the quarterbacks we think we'll have the most commonly on our rosters by the end of draft season. For me, it's going to be Love. We've talked a lot about him. Big nod to LaFleur, the depth of the receiver room. Even if we don't know who the lead singer is, I'm okay with that. I think Trevor Lawrence, you remember the idea was like, hey, tank your season for Trevor Lawrence. He's generational. He hasn't been since then. And I get it. You know, the first year with Urban Meyer, he had a pretty good second season, took a little bit of a step back. He will run a little bit. I like Peterson as the play caller. So I think Love and Lawrence, and I know they're not the sexiest guys, and you know, Lawrence runs some, Love runs some, but they're not going to be like Allen or Hurts or Jackson or Richardson, Daniels even. So you have to take a hit there. But I think they're set up to be really good values. I'm content to wait at this position. So they're going to be common link players for me. Give me a couple of guys. I'm feeling Brock Purdy might show up on this list, but tell me who you think will be among your most rostered quarterbacks by the end of draft season.
Well, given where I have him ranked, and I obviously love him, Anthony Richardson's going to end up on a few teams of mine. If I miss out there, my next target's Kyler Murray. If I miss out there, it's Jaden Daniels. I mean, this guy was an elite runner in college. I mean, and his scramble rate was super high. The floor, if assuming obviously health is an issue there compared to Johnny Knoxville, but man, if he can, if he's on the field, his floor remains high, even if the passing is ugly right away. But I really like Jaden Daniels. And then yes, Brock Purdy continues to get less respect than Roddy Dangerfield, an afterthought when he was, you know, the favorite to win the MVP going into Christmas Day last year. Comeback Ayuk, hopefully. Love the system there. And Purdy's not even being drafted as a top 12 QB in some fantasy leagues. Dude just broke the NFL record in YPA last year. And you are giving him
Aretha Franklin respect on this show. And again, you want hot takes, you want strong convictions, you go to Dalton Del Don. Dalton, final thing, gonna wrap here. Somebody sees you in an airport, sees you at a Warriors game, and they need 15 seconds of quarterback advice. I'll start here. I'm going to tell people to play the value game. Don't be the seal breaker at quarterback. I know Josh Allen's great. I know Jalen Hurts is great. But I'd wait a little bit, whatever that means. You want to wait the second tier, third tier. You have to season it to taste. And also, if you are one of the teams that drafts that quarterback later, maybe you want to be early with your second quarterback. And then that's your upside guy. If your first guy was upside guy, go floor guy. If your first guy was floor guy, go upside guy. And I love that in Superflex, right? If I'm later to quarterback at Superflex, I want to have the strongest quarterback too in that league. That's the way I usually play it. So I guess I went over the 15 seconds, but you know, whatever. Editorial guidelines were meant to be broken. Dalton, what is your 15-second quarterback elevator pitch?
I'm cool with your last-to-draft starter, first-to-draft backup method, playing matchups. But my main advice would be wait until the sixth round and then draft a dual-threat quarterback, a quarterback who also runs plenty of options this year. But it's a cheat code, and you will get a leg up at a more projectable position quarterback than the others that we're all guessing. So I suggest you grab a dual-threat QB this year.
Love it. The words of Dalton Del Don, who's given you all sorts of quarterback intel today, and I've tried to give you some advice as well. We talked about just about everybody. If you came here for Will Levis, I apologize. If you came here for Bo Nix, we didn't really get into it. But hey, there's only a certain amount of time on every show. It's going to do it for the quarterbacks today. One last note. How about signing up for Yahoo Fantasy Football League right now if you haven't already? I mean, you're already listening to this podcast. You're already listening to everything Matt Harmon says, everything Dalton writes, every video Andy Behrens does. You open up the app and there's Andy Behrens telling you who to draft. Here's another reason to get in on the Yahoo Fantasy Football League fund this year. Yahoo Sports and NBC are teaming up for a $1 million sweepstakes. It's how you enter. You sign up for a private Yahoo Fantasy Football League, draft your team. If any of the players you start score a touchdown in the week one games on NBC and Peacock, there's three of them, you'll earn bonus entries into the sweepstakes. Each person can earn up to 8 entries, one for just signing up, and 7 more for touchdowns in those NBC and Peacock games. Deadline for entry September 5th. Visit yahoo.com/fantasymillion to join. Want to see you in the winner's circle. I want to see one of you guys winning $1 million, tweeting to Dalton, offering to take him to the 49ers playoff game so Brock Purdy can throw 4 interceptions and Dalton's life can basically be thrown off track for a couple of months. But hey, we'll get to that when we get to it. Dalton and I are going to be talking more football on Wednesday, the running back position, the critical position in fantasy football. Until then, for Dalton, For Matt Harmon, who's not with us today, for producer Colin, I am Scott Pianowski, and we are officially out.